In Luke 11:50, the Word of God says that the blood of all the prophets was shed from the foundation of the world. There was a plan that God had initiated, and it went into action at the foundation of the world, that the blood of the prophets was to be shed. Now, this seems like a strange thing. I mean, we think God is going to initiate a plan in which the believer will walk through a series of events that we call the will or plan of God. And these series of events that take place and mold our lives are then, and as we respond to God in positive volition, that forms our walk with God. And we think of that this is that which was initiated from the foundation of the world as God knew us and prepared a plan for us. And we think that this is the plan. What we don't think is sometimes, and actually in every believer's life sometimes, the blood of the prophets was shed from the foundation of the world. We accept the fact that there may be challenges. We accept the fact that there may be a times of abounding and a times of abasing. We accept the fact that we go from faith to faith and glory to glory. We don't always accept the fact that we might be the blood of the prophets that is being shed. It may be our blood. And we don't think in these terms. And we think, oh, that's terrible. And God forbid that it, I hope it doesn't happen to anyone. But it will happen to some. It happened to my friend Tony. It was in the perfect will of God that he died. Because in his death, he taught a lot of people how to live. There are some, a few, who are called to this. And we see it as sad, and in our hearts we say, God, I hope that is not me. And certainly I too hope that is not me. But there are some who are called to this. Because the body of Christ learns to live as certain portions learn to die. And Tony was one of these people. The grace that man showed, not because of bravery, but because of the love that he had in his heart towards his Savior. I have never seen anything like that in my life. I'll never forget that young woman who asked me if she could go with me one time to visit him. So we went and we visited him in the hospice, and he had bone cancer. And bone cancer is the most painful form of cancer. And he had it throughout his entire body. And one time I asked him, Tony, what does this feel like? He said, imagine if you slam your hand in a car door, like you slam your finger in a car door, multiply it by 3. And then you have some idea of what it feels like, except it was in the entirety of his body. And I would visit him sometimes and he would say, Mike, I'm sorry, I can't get up. And you know, to me it was like, Tony, why are you apologizing? But this was the heart. He was genuine in that. It was not a platitude. He was genuinely sorry he could not get up. And I'll never forget, it was towards approaching the end of his life, and he had it bad, and he was in the hospice, and everybody knew that, you know, barring a miracle from God, that he was going home. I guess it was maybe 3 weeks or so before he died. This young woman came because she wanted to meet him. He was a friend of mine, but she had never met him. So she came with him, me, and we saw Tony, and Tony got up. And he extended his hand to her, and she shook it. Now, she had no clue that she was crushing his hand. Literally. And it was unbelievable pain to get up. You know, when his friends were there, he would lay very still in the bed, trying not to move. But he got up for her and he shook her hand. She never knew, I don't believe, the sacrifice that Dad took to welcome her. Tony had the grace of God. I have never seen such elegant grace in my life. The character of God developed in a man where in the worst of suffering, God's nature was revealed in a simple handshake. This is the nature of God. This is how God works. In a simple handshake that all the angels of heaven are looking down on because Christ is revealed in that action. This is the blood of the prophets being shed from the foundation of the world. Now, the Word of God says in 1 Peter, wherein you greatly rejoice, in verse 6, 1 Peter 1, 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, sufferings. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. Now, the word there being, there is no Hebrew word for being. The word there is actually a comparative word. And it's of great price, much more precious than gold. The trial of your faith is of great price, of great value. The riches are immense, much more precious than gold. You see, gold perishes. Though it be tried by fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Do you want to know where the believer's glory comes from? It comes through the trial of his faith. Now, we believers, we acknowledge that the trial of our faith is a necessary thing. But when it comes, we fight it. We fret about it, we get sorrowful in it. We don't like it, we get anxious about it, we get angry or frustrated with it. We don't want it. We don't recognize where it is coming from, we don't recognize what it is. We say, oh, I'm having trouble at work, or I'm having trouble with my friend, or I'm having trouble with my family, or I'm having trouble with my health, or whatever it is, I'm having trouble. No, you're not having any trouble at all. You are experiencing something that was ordained before the foundation of the world. It is called the trial of your faith. The testing, the proving of your faith. The original language means the proving of your faith. How does it hold? What is it worth? What is the material that it is made of? Do you know why all of a sudden you start having difficulties in certain aspects? Because that is the area of your life that God is now touching to deal with. Sometimes believers are doing just fine, and then all of a sudden one morning they wake up and they have this area of their life that they haven't worried about for years and years, and now it's a problem again. This is the trial of your faith. This is the proving aspect. This is the fire that brings up the dross of the gold so that it can be taken away, so that impurity can be removed. And now we are aware of it simply because God is dealing with it. There are a lot of things under the surface that we are not aware of that God is. And He will bring them up one by one, and He will scoop them away so that the impurity is gone, so He can see His reflection in the believer, so we can be truly indeed conformed to the image of Christ, so that in this world we are as He is. This is the trial of our faith. We kick against the pricks. We don't like it, but it is an absolute necessary part of the believer's life, because without it, you see, that subjectivity is going to creep in. And without that trial of our faith, the subjectivity is going to stay. When God brings us to the bottom, when He brings us to the end of ourselves, when He brings us to the place where there is no more room for subjectivity, then we live in objective faith. You know, having sin in a person's life is really a sign of some spiritual luxury. What do I mean by that? Well, one of the things that really leaves very quickly when the heat is on, when the fire is turned up, when you're sitting in the furnace, is sin. All of a sudden, people who had real great weaknesses and real great hang-ups and real great problems, the furnace comes on and those problems are gone. Because they start to live in really pure objectivity. It's a fat and lazy soul. And I don't mean fat soul in the positive sense. It is a fat and lazy soul that allows itself to fall into sin. It is a soul that lives in pure subjectivity. God brings that trial and all of a sudden that sin has gone out the window so fast it'll make your head spin, because all of a sudden they know that there is nothing there for them but God, and only God can help them. And all of a sudden things become really clear. The trial of your faith, being of great price, much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That trial of your faith is the source of praise and honor and glory from God to the believer. It is not possible for a believer to really mature, to really enter into that which God has prepared for him, to really enter into the fullness of the likeness of God, of Christ, into the image, into the glory that is set for the believer, without entering into the trial of the faith. When I enter into a trial of my faith, I undergo a process, and the trial of my faith has a process, and there are stages to it. But at each stage of the trial of my faith, I have to make a decision. I will either choose in a positive volition to respond to God's initiations and God's Word, or in some way or another, I will quit. And He will bring me from time to time to a place where this is my option. I either respond in positive volition, go to the next step, grow in the grace and mercy of God, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, responding to His Word in pure objectivity without sight, but only in faith, which is better than sight anyway, or I will quit. And this is what it means to go from faith to faith and glory to glory. Because as I respond in faith, I receive another degree of glory. My soul body in heaven will be covered in degrees of glory as I respond in positive volition to Christ now here on earth. The trial of my faith will bring me to the place where I make that decision or I quit. Some believers, many, at one point or another, will quit. Because they walk by sight and they have been deceived by the enemy into seeing that the object of the trial is the source of the trial. The object of my trial is not the source of my trial. When Job underwent the trial of his faith, the source of the trial was twofold. The object of his trial was his health, his belongings, his family. that the source of his trial was the enemy, and it was permitted by God. There is nothing that can happen in my life, and I don't care who is involved. It may be another person with a free volition of their own, but there is absolutely not one thing that can happen in my life that God has not given approval to, that God has not given his okay. I don't care how horrible it may seem. God has allowed it. God was there. God could have prevented it. He did not. The issues from death belong to the Lord. That word issues means escapes, departures from. They belong to the Lord. So if something happened, and God forbid that something terrible happened, but if something does happen, it came from God. God had allowed it. Satan brought it, but only with God's permission, as the trial of my faith. And though it may be a heinous, terrible, awful, terrible, like horrendous thing, and it is indeed from Satan, I am in Christ and had to go through him first. The trial of my faith is more precious than gold, because gold perishes, but the trial of my faith brings me to a degree of glory that will never perish. The degrees of glory are directly corresponding to the degrees of happiness that a believer will have for eternity. We believers fail to look at the source. Instead, we look at the instrument. Pastor Stevens had a good message on this. We see the instrument as the source, but the instrument is not the source. We see the circumstance. We see the people. People may attack us. People may say all kinds of negative things, wrong, lies, terrible things. People may do us wrong in some way or another. And we see the people as being the source of my problem. But they are not the source of the problem. Satan is the source of the problem. They are simply fallen victim to Satan because they have been deceived in their flesh. And they are weak in the flesh, perhaps, and they are deceived. But Satan is the source. Ephesians chapter 6, we do not fight against flesh and blood. But we believers keep looking at flesh and blood. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers. There are no exceptions given to this. It does not say we do not fight against flesh and blood unless it is this particular person, or unless it is our family, or unless it is our job, or unless it is our boss, or unless it is some circumstance, or unless it is our health. No. We do not fight against flesh and blood, period. That's where it ends. We do not fight against flesh and blood. Yet believers continually look on the horizontal level at flesh and blood while Satan is getting away scot-free in the warfare, in the trial of their faith. No, Satan is the source. And like Pastor Stevens said in that message, we do not correct it by getting angry at the person or being mean to them or reacting at them. We correct it on our knees before God. Because that is the source. That is the hope that I have. That is where I need to turn to. It's a spiritual battle. We do not fight against flesh and blood. The trial of my faith is not against flesh and blood. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, we have the progression, the next stage in the progression of the trial of our faith. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith has a result. The trial of your faith worketh patience. But But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. You see, there is something that happens as a result of the trial of my faith. When I go through the trial of my faith, I feel the fire. Maybe I don't if I am mature, but in many areas I am not mature. In many areas I need to grow, and I feel the fire. And I say, God, it burns. Get me out of this fire, God, it burns. I cannot do this, I cannot take this, I cannot handle this. God, not one more day, please, get me out of this. Cause this to be removed from me. I can't handle it anymore. And the next day it's still there. And I pray the same thing the next day, and the next day it's still there. And I keep praying the same prayer, and the trial doesn't go away. But suddenly, after some time, a little bit of time in the fire, I feel like, okay, God, this is terribly unpleasant, but it doesn't quite hurt as much as it used to. It doesn't quite bother me as strongly as it used to. I don't like it. God, I really wish you would get rid of it, but it doesn't really bother me as much as it used to. And in the flesh, you feel, oh, something is dying in me. Yes, it is. Something is dying in you, the old man, the old nature. That which can die is dying in you. Nothing can die in me that is from God. Only that which is of the flesh can die in me, because it is dead already. I am simply beginning to experience what God is trying to do for me. It feels like something has died, and in fact it has. A little bit of my old sin nature has died. I'm not so offended after that. I'm not so wounded. And in a way, in my flesh, because I still have some fleshness, I think, well, I just don't care quite as much anymore. Maybe. But maybe it's not what it really is. Maybe it is simply that I am not so self-centered as I used to be, whereby it bothers me as much as it used to bother me. Maybe I no longer react as strongly because the cross has worked a little more into my life, where I don't see you after your failure, and I don't see you after the flesh, and I don't think about you after the way that you have treated me, and you don't think about me after the way that I have treated you. I simply see, oh, it's you. Okay, I know you have imperfections. I'll just wait for you until you get over it, and then we'll continue in our fellowship. I stop crying about it because I feel like I can't cry anymore. But in fact, that's not what it is. That's simply the flesh trying to interpret the death of the flesh. What it is the cross being worked into my life. See, you can't hurt a dead man. You can only hurt one that's alive. If the cross works into my heart, if my flesh tries to, what is left, that remainder of the flesh, if I try to interpret it with that, I think, oh my God, I have nothing left. And God says, that's right. That's where I want you. Because now I can fill you. Now you can ask of me, and I will give to you, because I give to all men liberally, and I will not withhold it from you. I will give you that wisdom. I will give you knowledge from God. And this is the result, the first result of the trial of my faith. is I develop patience through the cross. God works it in me, and it comes through the trial. I could have quit, I could have walked away, and many do, or I can stay in the fire until something is developed in my heart. In Romans chapter 5, we have the second stage in the trial of our faith. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. You see, when I go through the trial of my faith, after I feel that death in me, which is actually just the cross working in me, whereby I no longer get so hurt, and I develop a little bit of patience because the cross is there. And I keep bearing in the trial, I keep continuing, and I keep continuing, I keep turning to God, and I keep asking Him for wisdom, and I keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I know that faithful is He who started that good work in me, who will also bring it to a completion. I know that one day, in that trial, I will get a desired end, an expected end. Because God has brought that trial into my life for a purpose. And so I continue in the trial. I don't run, but I continue as the Word of God produces the cross in my heart through the Holy Spirit ministering to me as I come to Him and I turn to Him. I develop experience in the trial. And although I don't realize that this is what is happening, someday I walk across another believer, and they say, I am experiencing the trial of my faith. And I say, yes, I know, I have been there. And you know, it'll be okay. I have been there. I know it will, because I have stood where you stand. I have been in the fire that you are in, and I know the outcome. And that outcome is one whereby you will come out and you will be fine. And no, it is not easy, and no, it is not pleasant. And no, it is not a good thing in and of itself, but the end is good. That trial of my faith, and it may be from the enemy who is bringing an instrument into my life as divine sandpaper used by God to smooth out my rough edges. And I say, I know where you are. It will be well. I have experience. And as I have experience with God, this trial of my faith stops being so scary. And it may be the same trial even, and it may continue even for years. But it will not be such a terrible place. It will never be a pleasant place, the trial of my faith. But my experience will tell me it is leading me somewhere. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. You see, in the trial of my faith, this is where I get to learn hope. And this is not a hope like a wishful thinking hope. This is a hope that is a confident expectation that God will be true, that God will be faithful, that God will come through for me, that God will have a provision for me. And why do I know that God will have that provision? How do I know, or how do I get that assurance? Because He's done it before. I have that experience. He has done it before. And I get to know the heart of God. through my experience with God in the trial. And that experience produces hope in me, whereby I have a confident assurance. And in that confident assurance, where I'm no longer centered on myself, where I no longer focus on my hurt, and I no longer focus on the difficulty it is causing me, and my emotions are no longer screaming out under the pressure of it, because there is a cross worked into my life, and that experience is telling me that God will be faithful, and I have a hope because I have a confident assurance in His faithfulness. I focus on Him because that is where my experience has told me that my hope will come from. And I focus on Him and I receive from Him. And as I receive from Him, the thing that I receive is His love shed abroad to my heart. And His love, as His love is shed abroad to my heart, I grow in the love of God to the point where my cup overfloweth and it spills upon you. The subject, the instrument of my trial. And God's love is glorified in the trial of my faith. In James chapter 1, we have the fulfillment of the trial. This is where the trial ultimately leads me to. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. The love of God in my heart is produced by the trial of my faith. It is a strange thing. I do not understand always the mysteries of God. I believe this is one of those mysteries. But the believer who goes through the trial of his faith in positive volition, responding to God step by step as the trial comes and continues, learns to love God. As that believer learns to love God through the trial of his faith, when God calls him home, He will give him a crown. It will be a crown of life, because he had to receive the life of God through the love of God to sustain him in that trial. He had to walk in objective truth. He had to walk in objective life. He had to rely on the Holy Spirit. He had to get to know God because of the trial of his faith. Crowns are given to kings. You see, we are here for a moment of time. Our life is a vapor. It is here and then it is gone. But the crown of life is an eternal crown. It is given to those who reign. It is given to those who have the trial of their faith so they can reign with Christ. And as they receive the life of God imparted to them in the trial because they needed it, they turn to God because they have nowhere else to turn. God responds to them. And He gives them life in their trial. And their trial produces a result. And it takes them to a progression that results in reigning with Christ for eternity. And God gives them a crown. Amen.